Hello and welcome to the Beauty Files. I am Juanita. I am so glad you can join us today. Happy Friday. Where I am, it's very cold. And to all the people who suffered upstate in the northern part with the snow and ice, I hope everything goes well. I hope you dig out. It's just been a brutal winter. And I do hope that everything goes well. We have a really exciting show today. And before I get started, I encourage everyone to give us a call at 888-627-6008. That is the call to number for the Beauty Files with Juanita. And a shout out to my favorite fan, Fred. Fred gave me a microphone for Christmas. And Fred, I'm just telling you now, I just asked my engineers how to use it because I have no idea. I am a hipster doofus when it comes to anything technical. So I asked them, they're going to walk me through it the next time. We're going to try to get it on because I know you were very thoughtful to buy this for me. So I do want to utilize it, but I got to see if we can use it. So shout out to Fred. What's up? So let me ask you this question. Can music really enhance your beauty? Just think about it. I mean, I know it can, you know, when you hear music, it does something to us. It makes us happy. It makes us, you know, sad or whatever. It gives us reminders of things. But there is an actual website called musicforbeauty.com. And Jill Mattson, she is the creator of Sonic Makeup. Now, she's going to tell us the wonderful things or the wonderful process that happens when you incorporate music and your beauty regimen. So we're going to talk to her in a few minutes. And later in the show, Fair Girls, which is an organization that prevents the exploitation of girls worldwide. And this is so dear to me that I cannot wait to get them on the air just so they can tell you about this organization. And there is a lot of things that are going on with young girls or girls in particular as far as sex trafficking, human trafficking, and right in our own backyards. It's not just overseas, but because we ordinarily think or automatically think that it would be overseas. No, this is happening in our great U.S. of A., Washington, D.C., where I am, California, Florida, you know, you name it. It's happening here. So we're going to talk to Executive Director Andrea Powell and Joni Horchler, I hope I pronounced her name correctly, later in the show. And then we have another treat. It's called Naughty Girls Donut Shop, and they're located in Front Royal, Virginia. They have some of the naughtiest donuts. And when I say naughty, I'm talking about calorie naughty. They got something with bacon. That's all I'm going to say. They got a donut with bacon. Bacon. That's the naughty part of Naughty Girl. So, you know, we got Tiana Ramos, young lady, 16 years old, started this. She is a phenom. Everyone loves her, loves her donuts. So we're going to get her on board later on. But without further ado, Jill Mattson, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to share all this great ways to look and feel beautiful.
You do share, girl. Do share. Okay. You have a phenomenal website. I love the music. I love everything about it. I love the idea. But for those people who don't know what I'm talking about, do tell.
Okay. Well, my site is Jill's Wings of Light. And I have spent the last 30 years studying how ancient civilizations use sound and music to change your liver, to move a rock, for phenomenal things. And in a way, it was a type of science. They, rather than viewing the world with chemistry or biology, which they didn't have, they would use it as wave interaction, which is very valid and accurate today. So with wave interaction, you would look at, let's say, the window, the periscope of sound, to see how energy interacts. And they were very sophisticated, knowing that energy transfers on the same note, or octaves, which is the same note, just higher or lower. So that would be, like, for example, why if you worry, every emotion you feel is a certain cycles per second. That's why we always recognize it the same. So if you worry all the time, that's the same frequency or octave, which is just the same note higher or lower, let's say is the lining in your tummy. So if you worry too much, energy transfers and you get an ulcer.
Right.
So there's an example we're real familiar with where just simply in an emotion changes your physical body.
Right.
Now you have to worry a lot. It's subtle energy and it works drop by drop. But this ancient science, which I'm bringing back in my music with all kinds of gifts in my music, but today we're talking about the CD Deep Wave Beauty, and we're taking that same idea with the transfer of energy between sound and your body, and being very scientific about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that this music, the Deep Wave Beauty, is kind of two-pronged. One is that it's beautiful music, and the idea when you feel beautiful, other people can perceive us as beautiful. Again, it's a wave, and waves in close proximity combined. That's like, when I took my kids to see Quasimodo in The Hunchback of Notre Dame. I mean, he was just gorgeous. He was so cute at the end of the movie because he was so beautiful
mm-hmm.
in his actions. And so people started to let that color how they view a person. For example, you can see a real pretty girl, and if she's the bad guy on a movie, by the time the end of the movie comes, she's no longer perceived as pretty, although her appearance hasn't changed. Anyway, so it's feeling music. It's like feeling beautiful. It's having an octave of that. And then underneath that, I've put in frequencies, which you absorb.
Mm-hmm.
That are the same as collagen, the vitamins, and the muscles in your face and neck. And you absorb these. So each listen, instead of having just entertainment, you listen to beautiful music, and you start to smooth up, tone your muscles in your face, and improve your physical appearance. Collagen needs vitamins to be healthy. And so there's that whole little package there. And then there's the frequencies of the muscles in your face and neck. And these are sounding in the background like tuning forks. It's very pretty little background. And how to put this? Think of it this way. This is kind of gross, but like let's say you were stringing the faces up in your face, muscles in your face, like on a violin. I mean, that's
okay.
Gross. Okay. But the short muscles are going to be high-pitched, like a violin. The long muscles are going to be deeper in pitch. And as you age, they sag. And so they get a little longer or flat in pitch. And you absorb sound. So if you keep absorbing the youthful sound, the healthy sound, drop by drop, you keep absorbing that, and then your muscles or, you know, in some of my other CDs, I have like frequencies for organs and stuff. Your body starts to match that as you absorb these sounds.
Okay. You're listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. Give us a call at 888-627-6008, or if you have you're shy and you don't want to be on the air, you can send me an email at thebeautyfiles2@gmail.com. How do you find what type of music works on what type of, like, your muscles in your face or your neck? Or because I know sometimes I'll hear something, and you remember that expression that your mother used to say, you know, if you keep frowning like it, it's going to stay like that, and you'll hear something, and you're like, oh God, I hope my face doesn't stay like that, because I may, you know, I'm a scare someone. But how do you pick what type of music works on what?
Okay, first of all, I spent 25 years studying this pretty much full time.
Oh,
and
wow.
I studied it by going through, because there's no book on it, but I would study the way the ancient people did it. And it was actually quite scientific from our point of view, but again, it's like wave phenomenon. So there's many tools like rhythm or pitches, or you can do what they call binaural beats, which I also do in some of my stuff, which you force the brain to go to a certain brain wave, which changes your consciousness and your health. You can use different notes that it played at one time for very specific emotional, mental, and physical things. So what I do in the music is I'll pick different things that I'm going after, and I'll use that when I write the music in the rhythm pattern, in the key signature. Like, is it starting on a D, mainly having many Ds? Or so I can use the pitch, I can use the rhythm. I have these little tools, for intervals and so forth to use in the music. Then in addition, what I do is that I have the frequencies associated with everything in your body. So I know the frequency of every muscle in your body, of everything in your body for that matter.
Right.
And then I have them made in tuning forks, because if you were to play them on the piano, it's not close enough and it must be exact. So, for example, with the collagen and the vitamins, they're right on, and they're playing in the background. It sounds like it's beautiful music with a beautiful wind chime in the background. It's barely noticeable. But the works of many physicists show that some of the most impactful frequencies are little tiny subtle ones. It's almost, you think of it like this. You're watching TV, and a commercial comes on to advertise a soda pop.
Right.
And you see it, and you go, stupid, they're just advertising. But if they're doing subliminal advertising, and every 60 seconds, unknowns to your conscience self, that soda pop's coming up, you're more likely to think, ooh, I want that soda pop, go out and get one or buy one.
So are we listening to this music like while we, you know, when do we listen to it? I mean, when do we incorporate it in our daily? Do we just kind of like have it playing throughout the day, and we just find ourselves, you know, feeling more like amazing or beautiful? Or do we play it at a certain time?
Yeah,
do we play it when we're working out?
You can play it any time. It's like neoclassical. It's very pretty music.
Oh, wow.
And then it has these tuning forks in the background. It's very entertaining.
Right.
And a lot of my listeners will like loop it and play it while they're sleeping to get a large dosage. Again, it's like with the worry illustration. Each time you worry, you send that negative energy into the lining in your tummy. Just because you worry once doesn't mean you have an ulcer.
Right.
But it builds up, and you listen to sound on music all the time. So the idea that you can pick something like, I want to have a beautiful face, or euthanizing my face, and listen to that while you're entertaining yourself, wow, why wouldn't you?
Right.
And
I think that would be excellent. I think that would be an excellent excellent to have in like a spa.
Absolutely.
I mean, I heard it, and it was beautiful. I mean, it gave me a sense. I'll tell you this, Jill. It gave me a sense of total relaxation. Was that what was that the
yes,
purpose of it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Health, well-being, relaxation, and then I said you can get really very technical. Just with silly little things like rhythm patterns, the key you put it in, the type of intervals you use, all kinds of things. It's a science, and we just closed our eyes to it, and we're like, would you go to a hospital and just start randomly taking people's meds? Well, of course not, but yet music kind of in a way is the same thing. You absorb it, and you do go to the grocery store and you just absorb whatever they're listening. Now, granted, it's just little drops, but over time they add up. Think of the Grand Canyon, and you see the water coming over the rock. Well, the rock doesn't change shape. The water bends, not the rock. But then if you look up at the Grand Canyon, with repeats, the water wins out. And that's the way it is with sound. Yeah, it's subtle energy, meaning that each little listen is just a drop of that. But we hear it all day long, and it becomes very impactful. So why not use it for good? I mean, on my side, I've got ways to build positive emotions, get rid of negative emotions, different ways of enlightening your body, mind, soul, tuning your body, your organs, all kinds of things that you can do with sound and music. It's this wonderful toolbox just begging to be discovered.
You know, I'm a firm believer in music can heal. I mean, and especially certain types of music. And I'm thinking that this could possibly be, and correct me because you are the expert, that it could be used for people who are suffering from depression.
Absolutely. And in fact, I have a book, Secret Sounds, Ultimate Healing, in which I explain the science of bioacoustics. And in that way, you can look at every frequency in your body and see what's out of tune. You can be very, very specific. You can look into the sounds in your body, because there's techniques to display that that are fairly accessible through a computer program. And you can say, oh, well, I'm not absorbing vitamin B3, you know, or, you know, and that's causing a problem with my behavior, and that's causing a problem with, you know, some other process in the body. It's very specific. So, yes, you can use it for emotional illnesses, but all of your emotions are in the same note or an octave of something else in your body. So, like, we're also interconnected. So, like, right. If, like, I have a set of music that heals your emotions, but that's going to have a ripple effect on your body.
Hmm. And should we listen to, can we listen to this while we're driving? Because I know there's some things
yes.
that will get you so relaxed that they advise you not, don't listen to this while you're driving, because you might just get real relaxed.
Yeah, no, this is just, The music for the flowers, it's, and I've got the actual frequencies of the flowers, because flowers impart a very subtle healing energy, and each flower has a different frequency, a
wow.
gift, if you will. You know, like
right.
a rose is beautiful and a daisy is cheerful. And ancient people used to consume flower energy to manage their emotions, which in turn was their doorway to physical health. And so I have like a two set of, I call them the flower symphonies, and I use the ancient Greek catharsis. So we take out your negative crap, and then you start building in positive emotions. And really, what's a positive habit? It's just being something like patience. If you're patient enough times, it gets programmed in your subconscious, and you do it without thinking, and you're now a patient person.
Right.
So in order to gain that virtue, I hate that word, it's kind of old-fashioned, but to gain that virtue or energy as a habit, you need repeats. And it's also hard to do that with your willpower, but hey, throw a CD in the back room and loop it and listen and listen and listen. Yeah, that's pretty easy.
And I guess as you're looping it or as you're listening to it, you know, you're telling yourself, I mean, and this is for me because I did listen to it, and I have to say, like I said, it was very soothing. But when I listened to it, I found myself like in a, and you know, I kid you not, I was here, you know, sitting at my desk, and I, you know, listened to it because I wanted to hear it for the show. And I found myself just, that's how I felt. I just went like, what's going on? What am I listening to? Why is it making me feel this relaxed?
That particular one, if it was like the one of the samples when you get on the site.
Exactly.
It's an ancient technique. Again, it was used from India to Egypt to China, all over the globe in ancient times. What they did was that they took patterns in nature and reduced them to numbers and converted to cycles per second. And those people who were very clairvoyant could see people's colors light up or an illness go away, or you just get in that better space and that better mood. You can quickly sense that. And what I'm doing, there's two samples there, and in sound, I'm putting in the geometries converted to numbers, converted to cycles per second or sound. I'm putting in the feeling of nature, the energy of nature. And then I did the same thing with the stars, another ancient practice. They would literally tune to the heavens, to the stars. And so with physics, you can calculate the frequency of a planet in its orbit, and it gives off a frequency. So in the background, and you don't notice them, but you do notice, you know, all the frequencies of the stars.
Jill, I could spend all day talking to you about this. You are an amazing guest, and I would love to have you back on, because I want to also touch on your other website as well, but we have ran out of time.
Well, tell people, it's Jill's Wings of Light. There's free half-hour free music, and for a limited time, I'm giving away one of my books as a download.
Wow. So we go to jillswingsoflight.com.
Right.
And do we need to mention that they heard it on the Beauty Files?
On the home page, you can just download the half hour of music, and for a limited time, this is one of my books. I'm asking if people would do a review at the when they in return for the free book.
Oh my God, that's amazing! I love that. And people, you will love the music. I really encourage you to check out JillsWingsOfLight.com and listen to some of the music, and it will put you in a whole different frame of mind. I can't say enough about it because, I've been going through something recently, and I literally put that on as I was going through this, and it just put me in a whole different mindset.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I really appreciate you coming on the show and being my guest on The Beauty Files.
Thank you.
And coming up next, we are going to be joined by two wonderful women. They're going to be talking about fairgirls.org, a wonderful program about human trafficking, and we really need to get more information about this. So I encourage you to stick around. Be right back in about 30 minutes. Thanks, Jill. Welcome back to The Beauty Files with Juanita. The call-to number is 1-888-627-6008. Jill Mattson with Jill's Wings of Light. What a wonderful person she is, and really love her her site and her music and everything that she has done to encourage using music for beauty purposes. Our next guest, we have two. Andrea Powell, she is the executive director of Fair Girls, and Joni Horchler, and you really have to tell me if I'm pronouncing your last name correctly. She is the organizer of a charity ball that's happening in my community, Cheverly, Maryland, and it helps hundreds of girls who are victims of human trafficking. And Fair Girls is the organization that prevents the exploitation of girls worldwide. And like I said in the beginning, a lot of people, we under the assumption that this only happens in other parts of the country, that someone is, taking a child or a young girl from her family at gunpoint, and they're bringing her over to the U.S. and they're making her into a sex trafficker or a human trafficker. But this is happening in our nation's capital, in cities, towns all over the U.S. So, without further ado, welcome, ladies, to the Beauty Files. I have both of them on. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So, I'm going to start with you, Andrea. Tell us about Fair Girls. I mean, because a lot of us don't know that this, well, we know that it's happening, but we don't realize how close it is happening in our community.
Okay, sure. So Fair Girls is based in Washington, D.C., but we have services in Maryland and Virginia and D.C., and we provide emergency care and long-term support to young women and girls aged 11 to 24 who are surviving all forms of human trafficking. 90% of the girls that we serve are American citizens, and a large number of the girls who live in our safe home, the Vita home in Washington, D.C., actually come from Prince George's County. So we work very closely with local law enforcement to provide training, help identify victims, and then make sure they get the care that they need.
So is there a specific part of the country that is more prominent that you find that are having this problem?
The FBI actually lists a few major cities where, in particular, child sex trafficking is more prevalent. So that's when you have a child who is sold into any type of commercial sex, and under both federal law as well as state laws, any child who's involved in any type of commercial sex is considered automatically a victim of trafficking. They don't have to prove that someone forced them. Mm-hmm. And so Washington, D.C. and Baltimore are both big hotbeds, and that's because you have a very impoverished community. Over half of the kids in D.C. live in poverty. Combined with the fact you have a lot of people with money and access to finding these young people. So it's just a perfect storm for traffickers to take advantage of vulnerable people.
Wow. Oh, you're listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. I can't imagine, Andrea, how are these girls getting approached? Like, what is the... What happens? Is it from a boyfriend? Is it from, like, the boyfriend knows somebody that knows somebody? How are these women getting approached?
So the average girl who we work with is between the ages of 16 to 18 years old.
Ugh.
And based on our client data, the average age they were first sold into sex trafficking is between the ages of 12 and 14 years old. So they're very young. So oftentimes, boys will approach them pretending to love them, pretending to want to offer them a better life. Over 70% of the clients we serve are in the foster care system. And so boys will meet them online, bus stations, school, the mall, and they come up to them and they start flirting with them. And if the girl shows any interest, then they just keep going. And unfortunately, it often just looks like a typical relationship, but you're talking about frequently very vulnerable young girls who are very impressionable. If you think about your own self as a teenage girl and you have some older boy telling you how pretty you are and you're not used to that, it's easy to turn someone's head.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm thinking, I mean, you know, I've always been a little curvy, but I'm just thinking when I was growing up and I was a fat girl and there was a guy, I went to the mall, I kid you not, went to the mall, guy came up to me, he said, you're so cute. You know, I would love to take some pictures of you. And I'm thinking, yeah, right, you know, pictures of what? And I just said, you know, get out of here, you know, leave me alone. And I kind of walked away. I saw that same guy approach another chick, and I saw her leave. And I was young, so I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe he thought she was cuter than I was. And then I saw a program that you had on PBS, and it gave me chill bumps. Because they were saying that if a girl shows, you know, or tells, you know, get away, you know, I'm interested, don't look, you know, looks them in the eye and say, I'm not interested, then the person will go away to the next person. But if the next person he approaches shows that, you know, oh, I don't have that much self-esteem, I don't look him in the face, boom, I got you.
Exactly. So oftentimes boys will approach girls, you know, again, either online or in person, but they'll spam emails, many girls, or Facebook, as many girls as they can get their hands on, saying, you know, you're so pretty, let's be friends. And then, you know, one or two girls respond. And that's actually worth the trafficker's time, because the majority of the girls that we work with are forced to be with a certain number of men, 3 to 5 men a night. And they're being sold on the internet, or they're being sold in the street, but mainly online. And they're forced to make anywhere between $500 to $1,000 a night. So if a trafficker has two girls and is doing this, you know, every night of the week because there's not breaks, so he can make up to $7,000 to $14,000 a week. And the average trafficker in the D.C., Maryland area makes $11,000 a week off of selling young girls.
Oh, my God. And what's so, you know, what's so funny, Andrea, is that women, they're the ones that get arrested, but the pimps or the person who's putting them out there, they don't.
You know, a big focus of what we're trying to work on right now is making sure that, in particular, children are no longer arrested if they're identified in a trafficking situation, but instead they're referred to services. We're also working to make sure that young adult women and men who are found to be involved in prostitution, that law enforcement knows how to ask the right questions to determine if this is potentially a trafficking situation. And there are hotels and websites, you know, running throughout the area that facilitate the sale of these victims. We also want to make sure that, in addition to talking about the victims and the traffickers, we want to make sure that the people are going after those who buy sex, because if there's no demand, the traffickers will go somewhere else, because
right.
Sex trafficking is about an imbalance of power and taking advantage of someone who is vulnerable for profit.
So, but what I'm thinking is that can this person escape? Is there an exit strategy? Do they, you know, threaten their families and tell them, you know, if you tell anyone or if you leave? Because I'm assuming, and I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but some of them may be still in school, but they're going through this now, but they can't tell anybody because maybe their families are getting threatened.
That's right. In fact, we had a case of a young girl a couple of years ago, much younger than our average case, but she was 11 years old, going to school every day, and eventually she was picked up by the police for being out past curfew. There's a curfew law here. And then once everybody started digging into the situation, realizing that she was likely a victim of child trafficking, and then found all these drawings in her room that indicated that she had been threatened and her family had been threatened. And so even though she wasn't necessarily locked in her room, for a young person or anyone really, if you threaten their family, even threaten their reputation, there are other ways that traffickers can manipulate and control their victim, who was already likely quite vulnerable to begin with. And that's why it's so important to have awareness and to really talk to young people about what trafficking is, and to let them know if something happens like this, how to get help and how to get out. And for others, you know, most of the girls who we work with, they were referred to us by law enforcement. So it's very important to work closely with the police to make sure that they can identify victims and they know that they can bring them to us.
Right. God, you're listening to The Beauty Files with Juanita. Give us a call at 888-627-6008. I do have a question that came over my Twitter. It says, is teen prostitution, is that the same as trafficking?
So anyone who's under the age of 18 who's in any type of commercial sex, that includes prostitution, they're considered a victim of trafficking. So that's right, those are the same thing, but what we like to say here at Fair Girls is there's no such thing as teen prostitution and there's no such thing as a child prostitute, because a child can't consent to being involved in any type of commercial sex. They're just automatically considered a victim.
So if a child runs away and she's like 15 years old and she decides that she wants to, I guess, go out there and prostitute herself, that, well... I'm trying to think what the question I want to ask. That would be prostitution, but if someone just decides, hey, let me help you out with this, let me, you know, get you some more work, is that then turned to trafficking, or what is that? Because
so
I think that's
scenario,
the question they were asking.
If you have a, you know, young girl who's supposedly doing this on her own, it's still considered commercial sexual exploitation, because those individuals who are having sex with her for money, for other things, they're exploiting a vulnerable child. And more than likely, if that scenario takes place, it won't be long before a trafficker either gets a hold of them violently or lures them into their control, and then that becomes trafficking. But technically, any type of situation in which you have a buyer, a victim, and then a trafficker, that's trafficking. But if you have a child who is being sold, selling themselves, which is obviously, a unique scenario, then that in that case, that individual is considered a victim of commercial sexual exploitation. It's still a crime, and there's still a lot that needs to be done to help them.
Right. And, you know, bringing awareness to this problem is exactly what we're doing here today. And also, there's a Sweetheart Charity Ball. It's happening in the town of Cheverly. It's February the 6th from 7 p.m. to midnight, and that's where Joni comes in. She's going to give us some information about the Sweetheart Charity Ball. Welcome to the Beauty Files, Joni.
Thank you.
So,
yes.
Just exactly what is the ball? What is the charity ball? What can we look forward to? And where do the proceeds go to?
Okay. Together with other concerned parishioners at our local St. Ambrose Catholic Church in Cheverly, Maryland, we started this annual fundraiser called the Sweetheart Charity Ball 3 years ago in order to raise funds for both Fair Girls and Catholic Charities Immigration Legal Services. And Fair Girls has an art therapy program called Jewel Girls, whereby trafficking survivors design, make, and sell their own jewelry. So it's really fun to have the Jewel Girls at our event selling their fabulous jewelry, and we get to meet them and get to know them. So it's a really fun event, and we have a fabulous band, a jazz band, and it's called Dino and Friends, and it's a wonderful time.
And what can we look forward to? Like, do we have to bring, as an open bar, do we bring food? Do we, you know, how much does it cost?
Okay. It's only $20 a ticket, and the reason we're able to keep it that low is that we actually make it a potluck. So the food is amazing because everyone brings their favorite dish. And we're able to make more than $8,000 for the causes, for the charities.
That's amazing. And so when you get the proceeds, like, does it go worldwide? Does it go to one particular part of Fair Girls? Does it support the whole organization? Because I just got that question, where does the funds go to? Is it local or is it worldwide? So
it's used, I believe, worldwide. I know that Andrea also has another fundraiser coming up in April or May. She can give you the details on that, but that's their annual Washington, D.C. gala, and that's a much bigger event.
Okay, Andrea?
Sure. So let me loop back and answer the first question. So the funds that are raised through the Sweetheart Charity Ball coming up next week do go directly to support the girls in our program. For example, for us to cover the rent for our safe home that provides services for girls who are survivors from the D.C. Maryland area, the rent is just under $1,500 a month. So as you can imagine, every $20 really does make a difference as we work toward that goal and work toward making sure that the girls have a safe place to go. Because when they have a safe place to go and they have food and they get the counseling they need, then they can begin to not just be in recovery, but to actually thrive, get jobs, go back to school, and really break that cycle of exploitation and violence that has run throughout the course of their young life. Now, in terms of our gala in May, it's May 7th at Longview Art Gallery. We're putting together the details now, but our theme going forward this year is Beautiful Survivor. So we will have Victoria's Secret model Elsa Hoff, as well as other incredible young women who are in the fashion industry speaking out about what it means to be a survivor. And the girls in our program are partnering with Arena Stage to put on a short theater performance talking about what being a beautiful survivor means to them. So we're talking about beauty from the most innermost place, so not just external beauty, but the strength and power that our girls have. And the proceeds that come from that event also go directly to support our programs. Over 90% of the proceeds go to support our programs, which is a pretty good percentage. Just like what Joni said, for the Sweetheart Charity Ball, we do try to operate on donations and in-kind contributions. So that is really important to us to make sure that people's donor dollars go directly to support the girls.
I love that. And I will make sure that I will mention that around that time, May, so or before that, so you know we can get people to come to that gala as well. And the Sweetheart Charity Ball is February 6th, like I said, from 7 p.m. to midnight, and it's in the town of Cheverly. I'm going to read exactly what it says on the flyer. Phantom Hall, St. Ambrose Church, the lower level, and that's at 3107 63rd Avenue in Cheverly, Maryland. And if you want more information about the Sweetheart Charity Ball, again, that's happening next week, you are urged to go to sweetheartcharityball@gmail.com. And you can get reservations that way. And again, the cost is only $20, which is amazing. And the May 7th event, we'll have Andrea on just to give us some information about that event as well. You know, this is something, ladies, that I am so happy that you were able to come on the show and talk about it. Because, again, I had no idea. Okay, I just got another question. I have to ask this question really quick. I'm sorry. Someone just sent me a really interesting question, and they said, does this organization help the girls Boko Haram? Am I saying that right? The girls that got kidnapped in Nigeria.
So, you know, we are not active in Nigeria, but okay. What I do want to bring up is that while there was international and very appropriate outrage for the girls who were kidnapped in Nigeria, mm-hmm. there was such smaller level of outrage for everyday girls who are here right in this area, 8-year-old Relisha Rudd, who was kidnapped right outside of a homeless shelter, and many other girls that you can see on the nightly news, or you can see them in the National Center for Missing Exploited Children database. But just in the D.C. area last year, over 3,500 kids were reported missing.
Right.
And 2,700 of those were girls. And so while we want to have outreach for what happens abroad, we also need to remember that there are girls right here in our community who are falling through the cracks, and we have to make sure that we advocate and really go after those who are taking them.
And I got another email asking, do you accept volunteers?
We absolutely accept volunteers.
We love volunteers.
Joni said, yes, yes, yes. Well, that's good to hear.
Tomorrow.
And what type of volunteer work would they be doing?
So we have a whole range. So that ranges from more administrative and fundraising to actually working directly with the girls. So we need volunteers to work in our apartment to help us with organizing clothes donations. We need to organize metro cards so girls can get to school and work. Getting donations from grocery stores or organizing friends to get a food drive going. And then also just any kind of skills. You know, we have volunteers from Arena Space teaching theater. We have yoga instructors, Zumba instructors, helping with resume writing and math, bank tellers teaching our girls about banking. So really, if you have a talent and everyone has a talent and you want to be involved, I'm pretty sure we can find a way.
And where should they contact you for more information about that part of it? Because I'm getting a whole lot of emails about the volunteering, so I guess a lot of women or men want to volunteer for this organization.
They can just email me directly at apowell@fairgirls.org, or they can go to our website, and we have a volunteer button there, and they can fill out a form. But if they email me, I'll make sure they get to the right person.
You know, there are certain things that, you know, I really enjoy presenting and doing, and this right here is, without even getting emotional, when I saw that PBS special, I just had tears in my eye because I'm just seeing these young girls that are just being taken advantage of by people that are feeding them all this. Well, we can cuss on internet radio, but I want all this BS about things that they want to hear. And girls, any young girls that are listening to this, just make sure that if that's the choice that you have to deal with, check out Fair Girls. Talk to Andrea, talk to Joni. Get some information. You don't have to do this. I am
and
so
I can
happy
give you
that
a
you
phone
were
number.
Part of it. I'm sorry?
I can give you a phone number for the girls. If anyone needs help, they can call our crisis number. That's 1-855-900-3247. Again, 1-855-900-3247, and that will connect any girl in need directly to one of our on-call social workers.
Ladies, thank you so much for being on the show, fairgirls.org. The Sweetheart Charity Ball on February 6th in the town of Cheverly. You can go to sweetheartcharityball.com and sweetheartcharityball@gmail.com and get tickets and reservations. And again, fairgirls.org. Get information about that organization. And again, 1-855-900-3247. If anyone's out there listening to this program and they need some help, and also Andrea said that if you want to volunteer, which we've been getting a lot of emails about that, go to apowell@fairgirls.org, send her an email, tell her what you want to do, and they will find a place and something for you to do. Thank you so much for being on the Beauty Fox with Juanita today.
Thank you for having us.
And coming
great.
Up
thank
next.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Coming up next, Naughty Girl Donut Shop. Think of bacon donuts. Doug is going crazy because he heard me say bacon donut. So on the other side, we're going to talk to the young owner, the 16-year-old owner who started this donut shop. Give us 30 seconds. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Beauty Files. I think I got a little emotional on that that last segment. I guess because it's very heart-wrenching, human trafficking of girls. 1-855-900-3247 is the number if you know someone or you are a victim of human trafficking. Please give them a call, fairgirls.org. And if you have a craft or a gift or you want to volunteer, they would love to have you. Send Andrea Powell an email at apowell@fairgirls.org. And, tell her what you want to do with the young ladies. They are, bringing in girls that that need to be saved. And they're doing a wonderful job. And I'm so happy that we have an organization like this. So get out there and make that call and send that email. Naughty Girls Donuts was started by a young lady. I have to say, the young people are just, like, I sound so old, like I'm so old. The young people out there are just doing the damn thing, I'm just saying. And Naughty Girls Donut, when I first saw it, Tiana, I didn't think anything else about naughty in a sense that, and then I was doing research on the show for this, you had gotten boycotted by some group that, had a problem with the word naughty. Girl, I'm thinking naughty means naughty because the donuts are just that good.
Yes.
Yeah, I was saying that the word naughty, when I first heard of naughty, I didn't think of anything but naughty as far as the different donuts that you have, like naughty calories or naughty ingredients or naughty me because I'm eating them all.
Exactly, and that's what people are supposed to think.
But see, everyone is so twisted because it's like, I always say, where your mind at? I mean, I guess
exactly.
I like to eat. I like sugar. I like yeast. I like donuts. And all I thought about when I saw naughty, I said, oh, my God, it must be something in here that's decadent.
Exactly, because when people come in here, they're like, oh, my gosh, I can't have this. I'm on a diet.
Like, right.
I cannot do that. I'm just like, be naughty, do it.
And you thought the same thing, didn't you? Because I'm looking, girl, Tiana. Okay, see, like you're my girl now. Okay, so I'm looking at your site. You first of all, people, this chick was six. Are you still 16 or you're 17 now?
I recently turned 17.
Oh, OMG! And she's doing the damn thing. 16-year-old girl started this organization. And it's in Front Royal. So, first, Tiana, we need to know, do you deliver?
Heck yeah, we deliver. We deliver within 30 miles of the shop.
Okay, so we're going to have to make a road trip. I'm throwing this out there to my boo, Thomas. We're going to have to make a road trip because she got some donuts in here. I'm just going to, and Doug, we're going to send some to you, Doug, because when I said bacon, he went berserk. But I'm going to name some of the flavors, and I want to tell you, where did you come up with this stuff? You got something called, Chunky Monkey. You got Strawberry Shortcake. What's your favorite?
My favorite? It's probably the Wake and Bacon. I like bacon.
I love bacon. Oh, my God.
Bacon is good.
Bacon, bacon, bacon.
And that was actually the first donut I ever created.
Really?
I created it in my house, and the shop was nowhere near thought of. And my mom's like, make something good. So I made her something. I'm like, listen, we don't got a lot. We got some bacon. We have some maple syrup. We have some little toffee pieces from the cake I just made. Like, we're going to have to make this work. So I put it all together, and she's like, Tiana, oh, my God, this is, like, the best donut I've ever tried. Like, I have never had experience with a donut before either. I just, like, used two cookie cutters and was like, let's just hope for the best.
Do you ever run out? I'm sure you, I mean, you probably run out of, like, you got something called Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
You have all these donuts.
Yeah, we actually have, like, over 175 different flavors.
And people, the people from New Orleans or Narlins, she does beignets.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you balance it? I mean, are you still in school? Are you, like, you out? You do, you know, part-time? Does your mom help? I mean, what is going on with you, Tiana?
Yeah, I'm still in high school.
Oh,
I'll be graduating this year.
Oh, my God. And you have this business that everyone is talking about and saying it's like the best donuts they ever had. When do you actually have time to man it?
I don't get any sleep.
I mean, when do you have time to, like, be there?
I get at the shop at 3 o'clock in the morning. Then I leave for school around 8 o'clock. Then from school, I'm there until, like, 2. Then I'll get here about 2:30. Then from 2:30 to about 9:30 at night, I'm here.
Wow.
And then my time at home is, like, the time I shower and do homework.
Oh, my God. Now, when you graduate this year, what are your plans? Are you plan on, like, creating, like, a franchise of this? Or you want to do it all full-time when you get out? You want to go to college?
Oh, when I get out, my hope is to go national and hopefully to be going to the college of my dream.
Which is
expanding.
What is your college of your dreams?
My college of my dreams is Culinary Institute of America.
Oh, my God. Yeah, forget about it. That is a dream. Yeah, that's the dream college. Yeah. Yeah, you need to be there. You need to be teaching there.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so the people that you have working there, are they, like, your friends? I mean,
yeah,
you know, I want to get all Kim Kardashian with you and go, oh, my God, are they your friends?
Yeah, we all go to high school together. We see each other every single day in class.
Oh, gosh. Do you bring donuts to school?
Oh, actually, my teachers are like, do I have a donut this morning? I'm just like, see what happened was.
I bet you get out of a lot of homework assignments. Just bring them a couple of those Wake and Bacon donuts. They're probably like, go ahead. Yeah, okay, whatever. They're like, oh, my God, I forgot your donuts.
And then I love
everything about you, sweetie. I love the fact your entrepreneurial spirit. I love the fact that you're only 17 and you're doing this thing. I love the fact that you have the work ethic of an entrepreneur, that you want to make it happen. And I just like saying, oh, my God.
Thank you.
But you are amazing. And 16 years old, you mapped out this. How long did it take you to get a storefront?
To get a what?
To get a place to sell it.
About 6 months.
Are your parents proud?
Yeah, they're very proud.
Do you have brothers and sisters?
I do. I have one younger sister. She's currently 12.
Oh, so she can't really, I mean, that'd probably be against the law to have her working in there.
No, me and her are totally different. My parents put her in different programs and stuff that has to do with engineering and video game technology and stuff like that, because she's very into that. She's very, like, into the whole, like, making video games, putting a computer together, taking it apart.
Oh, wow. At 12?
Yeah, like, she's like Einstein in, like, a smaller and female version body.
So I'm going to tell everyone where you are. I feel like I'm talking to my daughter. Okay, so she is called Tiana Ramos. It's Naughty Girls Donut Shop. They're located in Front Royal, Virginia, which is a little far, but, you know, she says she delivers in a 30-mile radius. I mean, you're not bringing it. I mean, you're, like, putting it in UPS or FedEx or something like that, correct?
We do that as well.
Oh, well, there you go. That's how I'm placing my order as we – let me hit send. No, I'm going to place my order now. Because since you do deliver UPS.
We do overnight shipping, and then we also do delivery.
Overnight shipping and delivery, people, at Naughty Girls Donut Shop. And you said you had over – how many donuts? 100 different donuts?
175 different flavors.
175. And before I let you go, Tiana, I'm just going to read a couple of them just so my engineer can drool. She has cookies and chocolate milk. She has morning glory, red velvet, chunky monkey, banana bread, waking bacon, Oreo kiss, Girl Scout, orange pistachio, birthday cake. I'm just, you know, throwing a couple. Creme brulee, grandma's apple pie. Wait a minute. How big are these donuts?
Literally, a lot of people think I'm going crazy when I tell you this. They are 2.5 inches thick and about the size of your face.
You're not going crazy.
Like, hey, like, why are these donuts so expensive? I'm like, this donut is the size of your face when you get it.
You're not going crazy. You're just fulfilling a desire to eat real good donuts. Oh, my God, Tiana. It was such a pleasure talking with you. God, I adore you, and I don't even know you. But it was such a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you
so much for being on our show. And I will be ordering my donuts.
All righty.
You take care, sweetie. Good luck in high school.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And you have been listening to The Beauty Files. Wasn't she delightful? Oh, my gosh. She's 16 years old, and she started her own donut business. Oh, she is just adorable. And thanks for our other guests that came in today, Jill Mattson with Jill's Wings. Oh, God. See, now she got me. I'm just totally gone. You know what? I forgot what I was saying. I got so donuts. I'm so into donuts. Yes, this is a live show. Jill's, let me make sure, jillswingsoflight.com. She is a wonderful, wonderful person, and I encourage you to check out her website, jillswingsoflight.com, and also fairgirls.org. They are helping girls out there who are victims of human trafficking. And, of course, Tiana Ramos with Naughty Girl Donut Shop in Front Royal, Virginia. Oh, God. I'm such a fat girl. I love sweets. I love it. And thank you for listening, and thank you for listening to me laugh and talk about food. Thank you again for listening to The Beauty Files. Until next time, you take care. Bye-bye.